Hello and welcome to ABW Radio Live. Thanks as always for tuning in. Home or away, win or lose, ABW Radio, your place to share Arsenal views. I am your host, Chris, back again like the renegade master. I always want to say that. I can't stop myself. I'm joined tonight by John and by Carl. So good evening to you both, gentlemen.
Hello.
Oops, I didn't mute myself. Archer. Right, let's get straight to it then, gents, because it's a weeknight, so I'm sure people have got early morning starts and all that, so we'll rattle through. Let's start with the team, for obvious reasons. John, let's start with you. Fair to say you weren't particularly chuffed when the team came out. Would that be a fair assessment?
Annoyed, angry, confused. I didn't get it at all. I know we'll go into individual performances, and I'm not digging out any players. I'm talking about the manager and his selection. I didn't get why Ospina was starting. I didn't understand why Xhaka wasn't starting. I didn't understand why Giroud wasn't starting. Alexis is in the team. That's fine. Iwobi's come back from injury. Maybe a little bit risky, but I thought he did okay for a young kid. You know, it's big, really big game. Why is Oxlade-Chamberlain in the team when his form's been really poor? And all those, half those players are listed as well, were all rested at the weekend. So I don't get why were they rested to not be played tonight? I don't get it. It just made no sense whatsoever. It's the most important game in the group, or arguably the hardest game. And surely you want to put your best team out. So either the manager doesn't know what his best team is, or he doesn't rate Giroud and Xhaka. For some reason, it just made no sense whatsoever. I didn't understand it. And I know people will say about Ospina and, you know, you've got to give him games. Well, the League Cup's coming up soon. You've got the FA Cup, things like that. It's no offense to Ospina. I'm not saying he's a bad goalkeeper, but you play your best team, and Czech is our best goalkeeper. I don't think there's any argument over that. It made no sense whatsoever. I think it was fucking stupid.
Fair enough, but don't sugarcoat it. Carl, what's your thoughts on the team as well? And did you share John's views or anything different?
Exactly what John said. I don't get how this is Champions League. Why are you not playing your best team? I genuinely don't get. Yeah, like John said, we get onto individual performances, but you have to play Czech. He's our best player. Like, Alexis is not a striker, but yet we still persist in playing him up front. Again, like John said, why is Oxlade-Chamberlain in the team? I don't understand that at all. It's just, it begs belief. Xhaka, he didn't play at the weekend. He was almost a home banger that he was going to play today. Why didn't he not play? And arguably, he's been one of the best midfielders so far this season. Like, I sort of concur with John. Like, either Arsene Wenger doesn't have faith in the team, or he doesn't know what his best team is. And it's sort of trial and error at the moment. But either way, the team selection today was wrong.
Fair enough. Okay, so what about the performance then, John? I mean, we didn't start. Yeah, we didn't start particularly well, and we were snowed under for long periods. I mean, did you sort of fear the worst? We'll touch on the goal in a second. That's coming. But I mean, did you fear the worst after the start we'd made?
I mean, going a goal down so early, knowing what we've been like in the past, I did expect our heads just to drop and to crumble. And to be fair, for probably 20-odd minutes, they were all over us, and they just looked like they could just really just pass the ball around with complete ease. It looked like boys against men. It really did. What's his name? Aurier was getting so much room down the right-hand side. The crossing he was putting in, like, no one was picking him up. Monreal was getting no help. He was getting roasted all game long. In midfield, Verratti was just picking passes out. No one was closing him down. And they were smart, PSG. All they did is they went, right, okay, they've got two midfielders that are sitting there. Cazorla's the one who can pass the ball. Coquelin's not so good at it. We'll just press when Cazorla's got the ball. Let Coquelin have it. That doesn't worry us. It's not going to scare us. So, it was really simple and obvious things that they did. It wasn't amazing, but we were just so poor. We gave the ball away so much. None of that. They just weren't talking. I didn't understand any of it. Targeting Mustafi makes sense. He's new in the team, so, you know, he's still trying to get the partnership right. But just no cover and no help for anyone. And were it not for your best mate, who obviously did get the goal, we could have been like 3-4 nil down probably by half time. It was ridiculous.
Yes, yeah, I think that's a fair point. And what about the goal, Carl? I mean, coming after such an early or such a quick start for them. And yeah, Cavani, we'll come on to him in a minute. But yeah, he popped. It was a good header in fairness, but I think one of us would have put that away. I mean, it was a brilliant cross from Aurier, to be fair. Cavani's movement was good.
Oh, come on, Chris, you got to give him more credit. That was a good finish. Put that bang
I
in
don't
a
need to give that twat credit at all. we'll come on to him in a minute. But no, I mean, it's a good header. It's a good header. But I just felt the cross made it. Aurier, as much of a pillock as the man is, he's a hell of a footballer. And that cross made the goal and PSG were one up at that stage. I mean, were you worried about the defending at that point as well?
Yeah, if you look at the goal, for some unknown reason, Kashani pushes right up and leaves a huge gap for Mustafi to try and cover. And where the ball goes wide, I honestly think that we just didn't do enough to stop the cross. Like, I just don't understand why that cross comes in. Why there's no gap? Why there's such a big gap in the middle? And as I said, Cavani is brilliant for making space, and he just literally just peeled off, and it was a good header. It was. There's nothing that the goalkeeper could have done. I think even if Peter Cech was in goal, there's no way he would have saved that. So I can't fault the goalkeeper, but when that goal went in, I'm not going to lie to you, I did kind of fear for the worst.
Yes, I think I kind of feared the worst as well, just because PSG have been so poor all season, and they really did sort of come out the traps quickly and did look like a team that had a point to prove. John, as the first half went on, though, I mean, you know, for all the possession and the ability on the ball, they didn't really create a huge amount. And we got ourselves slowly back into the game. Did you feel that, you know, did you feel at that stage that we were able to get back in the game? Were you confident at that point?
Not like the first half, not at all. I thought they let us have the ball when they wanted to, and they just looked like they could win it back when they needed to as well, just intercepting our sloppy passing. The problem was that because PSG, when they were letting us have the ball, could sit back so deep, and you've got Alexis Sanchez running in short to try and get on the ball and try and make things happen, then you've got no one running in behind, you've got no target man to hit. Ozil was completely out of the game. To be perfectly honest, I thought pretty much our whole team was just dreadful in the first half. There's no movement at all. I didn't think that there was any chance of a scoring. The best chance we had was probably from a corner, which they cleared and then went up the other end and probably should have scored from, which, you know, another great thing that happened in the game. It was just a complete and utter clusterfuck the first half. I felt so sorry for the away fans. And obviously they got the result in the end, we got the point and everything. But I was feeling so sorry for them spending that money to travel over there to watch that. So I thought if the second half was anything like that, I would have gone fucking mental. Seriously.
Fair enough. And Carl, did you obviously, again, in that first half or that first period of the game, did you sort of, again, feel like there was any way back into it? Because a lot of people were criticising the idea of Alexis through the middle. I understood why he did it, actually, to be honest, because Marquinhos and Thiago Silva's not played all season. So, he's not fit and certainly not as mobile as he once was. And Marquinhos is a very, very good ball-playing centre-half. But I think he struggles sometimes against space. So, you know, I could see the logic behind playing Alexis there, but it seemed to get a lot of people's backs up. And we did look a little bit kind of loose up front. We didn't have a lot, nothing was sticking. So did you feel that we were, you know, punching against the brick wall at times in that first half?
Yeah, if you're going to play someone up front, play them up front. Like, don't play. Why was Alexis coming back so deep? That's the frustrating thing. Like, if you're going to play up front, make sure he is our striker, not an attacking midfielder, which he was playing. He was dropping so deep into the midfield that, and then when he got the ball, he's looking forward and there's no one there. For about four times, Francis Coquelin was our furthest man forward. That just tells you everything that needs to be told in that game. It's frustrating because it's almost like a trait of Arsenal. You can tell in training that whoever plays up front gets told to come back and help. They must do, because otherwise, why would they do that? Like, I just don't understand why our centre forwards, even Giroud does it as well, and he did it today as well. He comes back, he'll win the ball, and then he looks up to pass to someone, and there's no one there. The amount of times that Bellerin got the ball to cross it in, and there's no one there to cross it to. Like, I don't get that. It's frustrating that we just don't seem to have outlets. We get the ball and you look up and there's so many times that there's no one in the box, no striker, or there's like one person in the box surrounded by four defenders. Like, what's one striker going to do against four defenders? Like, do you remember Bournemouth last year when Giroud hit the ball down to Ozil and Ozil scored that brilliant goal? Like, that's what needs to happen. You know, if he had someone supporting him, I think we would get so many goals. I just think Giroud's sort of used in the wrong way. But sorry, going back to your point. Sorry, going off topic then. I understand what you're saying is that why he was playing through the middle, but I do still think it was the wrong team selection. I do still think that we should have started with Giroud and maybe tried to pump balls into the box. I know he was just coming back from injury, but Alexis through the middle doesn't work. It hasn't worked for the times that Arsene Wenger's tried it this season. So you're thinking you go back to the tried and tested Giroud up front. I know he's trying to mix it up a bit, but I just think that it just didn't work today. I'm hoping that Perez will be that striker, you know, not a centre forward, but a striker, someone who will hang around the box, be in and about the box and leave the defending to defenders and the midfielders. And you just concentrate on your job, which is putting the ball in the back of the net.
That's the thing that confuses me more than anything is it's not just this season that hasn't worked with Alexis. Last season we saw whenever he played up top, he just didn't work out. But that's not a knock on him. He's not a striker. Well, you know, people say, oh, he does it for Chile. It's different. He plays in a different system and he plays off another player. He's not really an out-and-out striker. He generally still plays wide and then comes in. He bought Lucas Perez, and I'm not saying throw him in for this game, but if you wanted to play that type of striker, you've just gone and bought one. Why aren't you playing him up front? Right? Maybe he's not fit enough. Well, if he's not fit enough, then play an actual striker up front instead of someone who's actually a winger, never actually works in that position for us ever in any game. It's always gone wrong. We've had to change it. Oh, fuck it. I'll just throw him in anyway. It's only the most important game in the group. It's just completely baffling. I don't understand the logic behind any of it at all.
It is hard to comprehend. I will agree with you. And, you know, I suppose, you know, we're all managers in the side.
Yeah, or play Akpom. Sorry, is everything ruined? Yeah. Play Akpom.
He's getting the Champions League squad, is he?
Oh, Jesus. Isn't he?
Yes, yeah, Sanogo made it over Akpom.
let's look at the individual sort of areas of the pitch before we, you know, touch on the second half. I mean, what did you... I saw a lot of people sort of saying, you know, Santi Cazorla was poor in the first half. I didn't see that. I thought he was one of our few players that was willing to, you know, get on the ball and sort of try and make something happen. I did think both fullbacks were poor, and the lack of a Xhaka. I thought Coquelin was okay, but as you said, John, yourself, he was too far forward at times, which is consistently a problem. And what did you make of that midfield area in particular?
That I didn't get that at all. I mean, again, I don't know why Xhaka didn't start. You're going up against Verratti, who, all right, stature-wise isn't big, but he is physical. He will win the ball back, and he can pass it around people and can make loads of space. You know that yourself, Chris. Krychowiak obviously came in, who is a fucking absolute unit, who is very impressive tonight. And just why would you play, you know, Santi's going to get bullied about. Like I said earlier, they press Santi, I'm not having a dig at him. He tried to make things happen, but all it did was force him to give the ball to Coquelin or let Coquelin run in the space that they left there. And what is Coquelin going to do with it? He's not that type of player. If you play Santi next to Xhaka, which we've seen, was it the Watford game? It was the Watford game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
You saw how good it was. Okay, Watford aren't PSG. Yes, I understand that. But you've spent all that money on that player who you've then rested at the weekend. Why not start him? You know he can pass the ball really well. You know that at times we're going to be hitting on the counter. What's he really good at? Hitting those long diagonal balls. And we've got Oxlade-Chamberlain and Iwobi. All right, they didn't have the greatest game ever. But they're quick players. They're people you can hit on the break. It was like part of the team was picked with these guys will work perfectly if Xhaka's in the team. But I won't put him in. So I'll put Coquelin in and then we'll stick Cazorla in. So we'll try and play a control game with fast players to hit on the counter. It was just the partnership seemed all completely wrong. It was a bit like the selection at the weekend where some of the players, the ones that were rested, you're like, I get it because it's PSG coming up, but you've mixed and matched the wrong players. they're not the types that work together very well. It was just bizarre. I just thought, as soon as you saw Xhaka come on in the second half, you saw how much more control we had over the ball. All right, PSG looked a little bit tired in the second half, but it was just so much more physical, and his control on the ball and passing is much better. And it frees up players like Santi to get a bit further forward. It frees up Ozil to find some space and actually play some passes, because in the first half, he was non-existent.
Yeah, I think, again, you make fair points. It's hard to disagree. And, Carl, I'm going to give you the defence, just to be sort of really nasty. What do you make of this partnership between Mustafi and Koscielny? Because, you know, on paper, it looks the real deal. And I do think it's potentially going to be the best going forwards. But did you have any concerns about that? And also the fullbacks? I mean, again, I thought both were patchy at best today.
Monreal had a very bad game. Let's just call a spade a spade. Like, he was personally, I think, is at fault for the first goal. He didn't close down Aurier quick enough. He had that awful, well, I don't know what he'd done. He tried to cut out a ball, but he hit it right into Cavani's pass when Cavani missed the open goal. He didn't have the best of games, but I think it's very early to make an assessment on Koscielny and Mustafi. They've only had two games together, so I don't want to sort of speak bad of it. They're going to need to learn how to work together. They're going to need, it's only two games they've had, and the more they play together, the more understanding they'll have together. So that's what I'm looking forward to. You can tell that for me, Koscielny is definitely top five defenders in the world at the moment, and Mustafi, he's just come in, so give him time to settle into the team. And because when you're a striker and you make sort of a lot of mistakes, you don't really notice it, but when you're a defender and you make a mistake, it tends to always lead to a goal, like a goalkeeper. So I'm just hoping that them two will gel together. I'll give it months, give it till, say, Christmas. I mean, at the end of the day, I think Gabriel just come back, so you're not really looking for him to play. You still have got Rob Holding, and Mertesacker's not back until, I believe, the new year. So, you know, they are going to be our starting centre-backs at the moment. Bellerin, I thought, he was getting forwards. My sort of concern with Bellerin is that brilliant going forward, but I still think he's defending his suspects. There's certain times when you want him to do certain things and he doesn't do it. Going forward, he's absolutely brilliant. He's got pace to burn, and his crossing is getting better. It's not brilliant, but his crossing is getting better. But defending, I think he's still suspect. I think his positional play is very poor. He's always out of position for some reason. And that's because he's always concentrating on going forward. But Monreal today, I think, had a really, really poor game. And he hasn't had the best of starts to this season at all. So it wouldn't surprise me if Kieran Gibbs comes back in to give him a little rest, to say the least, because the start of the season has been quite bad for Monreal.
It's funny, actually, Neil Chimp has been saying, hasn't he, John, for a while, that he thinks Gibbs will become the left back by Christmas, which is an interesting shout. But let's move on to the second half, shall we? Because it got better, didn't it? It got better. Changes were made. The formation seemed to change slightly. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but we seem to be a bit more like the 4-2-3-1 that we normally set up in, rather than more of the 4-3-3. And there seemed to be a bit more stability about the way we'd set up, and we looked more solid. And we looked a genuine threat on the counter-attack. And although Iwobi, for example, didn't have his best game, he looked like a player that they were concerned about, as was Alexis, sort of, you know, dropping deeper. What did you sort of make of the change, John, second half, how we came out, how we looked? And did you get the impression that, you know, Arsene Wenger's never a hairdryer manager, but did you get the impression that he'd maybe rattled a few cages?
Well, I mean, I don't think so, because from whatever players say and ex-players and even players that play under him now, he's not apparently that kind of manager in the dressing room. He's not one to shout. It wouldn't surprise me if there was a few players in the dressing room and certain people on the bench were having a go at certain individuals. But they definitely seemed to look, they looked like they were pressing higher up the pitch, trying to win the ball back a bit earlier. We saw the slightly better side of Coquelin because he got that early booking. I think he was a bit wary of making a tackle. He didn't want to make a mistake. But he was trying to win the ball a bit higher up the pitch. Like, you know, when he was on that really, really good run of form, and in particular the Man City game where he'd come back from the loan spell, he was doing it then. So I think that improved. PSG's level did drop a bit as well in the second half, and they weren't getting Aurier on the ball as much. Monreal was getting a bit more protection down that side. I think in the first half, Iwobi really wasn't helping him out. But like Carl said, I don't think Monreal had a particularly good game, though. So it was definitely improved. The problem was I still wasn't convinced we were going to get a goal with the players we had on the pitch, because although I know Alexis can get you a goal and Ozil can maybe create something, I wasn't sure how are you going to get it exactly, because Alexis still was drifting wide or coming deep to come and get on the ball and try and make things happen. And it wasn't really, I mean, Oxlade-Chamberlain went off just before he got subbed off, he made that one run into the box from out wide, and it was the only time he'd done it all game. Iwobi did it a couple of times, which was quite good, but we didn't see enough of that from the wide players, because if Alexis is going to drop in, then your wide players have got to come in and make, you know, be the players in the box so you can either get the cross or the through ball to them. So it was a little bit better, but PSG was still making plenty of chances, and they looked quite happy to sit back, let's have the ball and try and hit on the break. And when you've got Di Maria and Matuidi, you always think they're going to be a threat.
Yeah, again, very good points. Well made, Carl. I want to, just before, again, we focus on the second half, and I'll stay with you for both these points. Mesut Ozil, just want to get your views on him tonight, because he's one that I think divides opinion in the Arsenal fan base. I mean, I'm of the belief that the man's just a genius, and, you know, sometimes you can only work with what you've got in front of you, and sometimes he didn't have a lot in front of him tonight. But his performance, I'd like your views and also your thoughts on how we change the game and the pattern of the game second half, because to me, and obviously I've watched a fair bit of PSG over time, they are a side that if you attack them, good at dealing with it.
Okay, Mesut didn't have the best game in the world. I'm like you, Chris. The guy is absolutely brilliant. He really is. He can make space in the phone box. Like, he's just absolutely world class. And you're right, he can only work with what he's given. But today he did have a poor game. You know, his passing was kind of off today. He was giving the ball away quite a lot. The problem is that when you look up and, you know, Mesut Ozil works with runners, which is still, I hate the fact that we still didn't buy Lacazette, but again, that's all gone now. There's no point crying over spilt milk. He needs runners. He needs people that will hang around the box. He can look up, ball over the top or ball in the mid over and along the floor, and people can run onto them. But he hasn't got that, because today he was looking up and having to go sidewards, side, back. He's just absolutely typical of Arsenal. But he didn't have the best of games today. I think we should have taken him off earlier, personally, because if the style of play that we were playing didn't sort of suit Mesut Ozil. You know, we wasn't, although you're saying, yeah, if you attack them, we're going to score. And it showed today we did attack them and we did get a goal. I believe that we should have gone three centre mids in the middle, because that may have stopped the striker coming back to get the ball. If we were winning the ball from midfield, you could tell the striker, whoever it was, whether it be Giroud or Alexis, to stay up front, and then that would leave him to do what he should be doing and putting the ball in the back of the net. The second half, you can tell there was a change. There was a definite change. I think Wenger must have told them, stop being scared, because it seemed like they were scared to attack PSG. So you could tell that at halftime, it was probably the team talk was, don't be scared of PSG. Go at them, you know, match them. And, you know, thank God that our persistence worked. You know, we were working the ball into the box, and we managed to get that goal, which was really good.
Agreed, and we will come on to the goal next, in fact. John, hard fought, battled, but when it came, Really good goal, I thought. Really, really good finish, because I thought Iwobi should have scored, if I'm being critical. I didn't think he didn't Thierry it enough, did he? Didn't open his body up enough. But nevertheless, it was a good save from Mariola, who, by the way, will be very good. Side note. Alexis firing in. And when you saw the replay from behind the goal, or from behind where he was striking the ball, that's unerring accuracy, to put that away. I mean, that was, dare I say it, sort of, I know people are going to criticise me here, but it was a bit Van Persie, wasn't it? You know what I mean? Where he would always find a corner and with power, it was always a controlled, powered finish. And Alexis has been guilty of screwing those before, but that was a terrific finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's the thing, when you see him and he plays for Chile, it's Vargas will win a knockdown and Alexis will get in and sort of scrap through a few defenders and get on the end of the ball and hammer one in. He's used to those kind of finishes, so it doesn't surprise me. The ball from Ozil was fantastic. I was criticising him the whole way through the game and saying, oh, you get paid blah, blah, blah amount of money. And not that it ever has anything to do with it, but every footballer gets paid too much fucking money. But I was getting really annoyed with him. And then he pulled that ball out of nowhere when I thought he basically had the ump and given up all game. You're right, Iwobi should have scored. But yeah, Alexis, really good finish. And then PSG were rattled. I think they had like one or two breaks after that. But I was so confused because I was still so annoyed with the way we'd played throughout the rest of the game, because that was probably, other than I think the Mustafi header that he put wide, that was probably our best chance in the game, like the only other chance we really had, like clear cut chance. And I was just so like, just this, I can't even express it properly now. Just a ball of complete anger and disappointment, and I was still expecting us to completely cock it up, but I'm glad we got the goal back, and you know, it was nice for the away fans as well. We're obviously making that trip out there and something to cheer about. And yes, I know a point is a good result, but I end up leaving the game thinking, if we'd started with the team we'd finished with, or close to the team we finished with, then we probably could have won the game. I'm not saying PSG are a pushover or anything like that, but I just think if we'd gone with with Xhaka starting and Giroud starting, then we probably would have had a much better chance to go on and get 3 points, which would have been huge, because that really would have set us up to win the group. I know we're still, you know, it's still in our hands as such, but I just think it puts us in a much better position.
Again, I think it's we'll come on to what the point means in a second, but you know, it's not a bad result in isolation, and that's what we have to take from this. Don't worry, the chat box. And thank you all, by the way. We really appreciate you joining us tonight, and keep it friendly and fun. That's what we like to see. Carl, I want to come on to big David Nonek, big David Ospina. He's taken a lot of flack over his Arsenal career, some of it justified, some of it not so. He could easily have walked away in the summer and been a number one at, you know, another Premier League club. He could have walked away and played at a high level in Europe, I think. For me, he's the best number two goalkeeper in the Premier League, bar none. And whether you agree with the decision about rotating goalkeepers, Arsene Wenger is not the first to do it. He won't be the last. PSG obviously did it as well. But you know what? He stepped up tonight. You know, I thought he was so good in the one-on-one situations, just the vital touches away. You know, the ability to, I thought he read the game really well. Coming off his line was something he's been criticised for before, making Chesney-esque decisions, you know, not knowing when to come, when to stay. But I thought he was absolutely magnificent tonight. And you know, yes, Petr Cech is clearly the better goalkeeper. That's a fact. But when you've got a number two that's that good, or that can prove he can be that good, I mean, that's got to be, you've got to give the guy credit where it's due on tonight's performance, haven't you?
Yeah. Do you know what? No. Personally, he shouldn't have started. But he stepped up to the plate. You know, the goal was not his fault. Petr Cech would have conceded that goal. But when he was called upon, he made four or five really, really good saves. So, you know, when called upon, he did his job. He done well. I still don't think he should have started, but, you know, that's just something else. But no, you got to give credit where credit's due. He's come in first game of the season, and he's done his job. He's made some brilliant saves. You know, sorry, just looking at the goal again. Oh, God, really bad defending. But you can't fault him for tonight. Not at all. He played really, really well. So he did what he's paid to do. He's paid to not concede goals. And, you know, he conceded one. It wasn't his fault. But, you know, just brilliant. He done really, really well today.
Yeah. I just wanted to give him a little bit of a nudge. And John, I'll give you an opportunity as well, because, you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there. There's a lot of shows like this out there that, you know, can be overreactionary, underreactionary. But I like to try and keep it fair and balanced on this show. And again, credit where due. What did you make of Ospina's performance? Because you've already said, you know, you wouldn't have played him, and that's fair enough. You're completely entitled to your opinion. And for the record, I probably would agree. But again, credit where due.
Yeah, no, he was very good tonight. Are you trying to say I'm overreactionary?
No, not you.
Like I've already said, I still think Cech should have started. Someone's just put it in the chat there. You know, you should start the goalkeeper that you would start in the Champions League final if you get there. And it, you know, for me, that's Petr Cech. I think given the FA Cup and the League Cup, that's fine. Or whatever is it, the EFL League thing, whatever it's called now.
Yeah,
that thing. But yeah, no, he made some very good saves. I thought the one error he made, luckily Cavani decided to screw it wide. The one where he came out a little bit too early and Cavani took it round him, and then he the left footed shot that went past the post, the open goal one, which you laughed at. It was that was your first appearance on Twitter the entire night, I noticed, by the way.
Sorry.
So, no, other than that, I thought he was really good. He made some really good saves, closed down the angles and stuff. And, yeah, there was nothing you could do for the goal. As our friend Everything Reroute Everything, Ospina always makes, you know, three really good saves and then gets himself injured a couple of times as well during the game. Which he always seems to go down and get treatment every single game.
Even for Colombia, it's always the same.
Yeah. I don't know if is it just the lack of neck that makes him more injury prone? I don't know if that's a thing or it still confuses me.
No, do you know what I think it is? Do you remember when you were at school and the girls would watch at lunchtime when you play football? And if you went down with a bit of an injury, the girls would sort of come over and, you know, you'd get a bit of attention. I reckon.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I reckon. I reckon he's a bit of a ladies' man.
Yeah, but we haven't got Eva Kenyera though, so... You know.
No, good point. Good point. Yeah. Casual sexism. It's all good. Anyway, before we get taken off the air, let's move on. Should we address the big Uruguayan shapes colossal?
I know you. Well, right, Chris. Cavani, talk to us about Edison Cavani, because I know you want to. We'll just let you have at it.
Do you know what? I'm actually going to be fair and balanced. I've taken, you know, I took a lot of heat when he scored the opening goal, and it was a good goal. You know, it was a good header and fair play. Now, what I'll say is, on his day, Edison Cavani, as you well know, John, from your following of Italian football, is an exceptionally good striker. When he doesn't, he's almost the Theo Walcott of Uruguay. When he doesn't have time to think, and when it's all in front of him, he opens his body up. He's got exceptional movement. His movement is absolutely brilliant. There's not many strikers in Europe with better moves than what he has. However, this consistent myth that he would be a good Arsenal player, that he's a world-class striker, that he's consistent, and an even bigger myth that Zlatan Ibrahimovic was holding him back last season. I'm sorry, it is a myth. And the one thing that I would say tonight about Cavani's performance is, yes, he scored the goal and that's fine. And boy, did he milk it, by the way. But then he went on to miss, four chances that I would expect a striker to score. And I will simply say this. If Olivier Giroud misses the four chances that Edinson Cavani missed tonight, he would be absolutely lynched by Arsenal fans. And if we had signed him...
Those chances, how many of them would Giroud have scored?
A fair point, because his pace probably wouldn't have got him onto it.
But even if you put him in those positions, I think that Giroud probably maybe misses just as many.
I think he goes around the goalkeeper or slips it under the keeper that Ospina saves. I think the one where Cavani just falls over his own feet was hilarious, by the way. I think Giroud takes that because he's technically very good in that position. You know, again, this is not just, I'm not just going to bash Cavani. I mean, I don't have anything on Edinson Cavani. You know, there isn't like a super injunction here. He's not going to take me off the air. So we get on fine. You know, we chat every night. But no, I just don't buy the myth personally, and I just felt that we marshalled him overall pretty well, and the chances that he did have, some of them were down to bad defending, but you know, he proved that he couldn't take the chances. So I just think that sometimes there needs to be a bit of balance in how much we give stick to Olly Giroud, when have a Cavani who is.
Do you think if he put Mesut behind Cavani, he wouldn't score a bucket load of goals?
I don't, mate, because how many chances has he put clean through on goal tonight that he's still spurned? I mean, he had the best midfield in Europe, I think even John would agree, behind him last season.
No, it's at Juventus, sorry.
Well, yeah, fair argument, actually. One of the best midfields in Europe, you know, yeah. Bayern, Juve and Bayern probably, and he still missed chances. You know, As I say, this isn't a Cavani podcast, but I just thought I'd be fair and measured and say
it was very funny. All the chart, I mean, it was funny that, well, not funny that he scored the goal, but funny for us because obviously you know, people obviously gave some stick on Twitter, but obviously we all went proper hog wild in our little chat groups on Chris. He didn't say a word throughout the entire game. He waited to make sure Cavani didn't get another goal, but obviously you got to laugh at all the other ones, which is fine. I mean, the one where the ball from Verratti, where he took it down on his chest and just fell over. That kind of upset me because the pass was so good. It deserved
the
goal.
The pass was unbelievably good, wasn't it? You know, unbelievably good. Yeah.
But it's weird, Cavani, because he was amazing at Napoli and just went to PSG and it's just gone horrible. I don't know if it's like when Torres went to Chelsea and just something just went wrong. I've got no idea. But maybe if he goes to another club, he might find his shooting boots again. But lucky for us, he missed all those chances because, yeah, you say, he should have had probably four. Di Maria could have had a couple. Rabiot as well. So yeah, we certainly rode our luck anyway.
Yeah, agreed. But we'll move on from Cavani. Where does this leave us in the group? I mean, Carl, do you see this as a bit of a point gained? Do you see it as a missed opportunity?
No, definitely a point gained. It could have gone horribly wrong today. It really could have, and it didn't. So. Arguably, this is our hardest game away to PSG. You know, you're looking at the rest of them. You're looking at Lugarets. If we don't put five past them, something definitely has gone wrong. Basel, yes, I'm not going to say that they're easy because there's no way they are. No, they're a very good team. But this is our hardest game and we drew it. So you're thinking of the rest. You know, but Lugarets home and away, we should win. Basel, you're looking to all the home games we should win. So you're hoping to beat PSG at home and you're looking to beat Basel at home. I would take right now, would I take a draw away to Basel? I would. And that would put us through. So this is more, I can't see it was the worst result in the world. It could have been better. But a draw away to PSG, anyone would take that because they are a good team. Yes, they've lost Ibra, but you know, they're still a good team and arguably the strongest team in our group.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the shootout between the two, realistically, isn't it? John, similar question to you, and maybe just touch on the other game because it ended 1-1. Basel 1, Ludogorets 1. Late equaliser from Stefan, actually getting the point for Basel, and that's probably a good result for us, realistically, isn't it? Because you would probably expect Basel to have thought they could have won that. So I mean, you know, again, where does it sort of leave us, in your opinion, in the group? And do you think that's the best result possible with a draw in the other game?
Yeah, it's the best result in that game. I don't really know that much about Ludogorets, to be honest. I just because I've seen more of Basel and I expected they might be the better team. So I thought they'd probably get the 3 points. And I've seen them play against, you know, other English sides and they've got some decent results over the last couple of years. So they weren't going to be exactly a pushover. I think coming into tonight's game, I was really looking forward to it, actually. It's the first game all season I was really excited about. I thought we could get 3 points. Then I saw the lineup and thought, fuck, okay, a point would be good. And then after seeing the way PSG played, and they were very, very good in the first half, and then seeing how we were after the subs, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, we could have got the 3 points. I was right when I actually woke up this morning. So I'm like, I'm with Carl in the sense, it is a point gained because we were so bad in the first half and for large periods of the second half as well. But I think we have done ourselves a disservice because we could have got 3 points and really put ourselves in a comfortable position. Because the other thing is, if we get 3 points tonight and then whenever the next game is, if it's between difficult league games, getting a point against the Ludogorets or Basel doesn't matter as much. Going and getting a point against them now, all right, getting a point in all your away games is fine, and winning all your home games, that's great. That's pretty good for a group stage. But it's easier to do that when you've already got the 3 points on board and you can juggle between the league games and rotating your squad better and stuff. I just think we've cocked up so many times, especially in the last couple of years in the Champions League. It felt like this season we could actually finish top of the group, and we've messed it up from the start already. It really annoys me.
I do think that, as you said, going back to the sort of point gained thing, I do see it as a point gained. Maybe a smidge missed opportunity, but again, following Liga quite regularly, I fully expected a performance from PSG tonight, and I fully expected a reaction because they were, by all accounts, pretty poor against St Etienne, and they've had a pretty poor start to their season. And the reason Unai Emery is their manager now is because they want to win the Champions League, and I fully expected Under the Lights for them to come out and go after us. So, on that sense, I'm kind of comfortable tonight going, yeah, that's fine. As long as we do the job at home, because that's vital. I'd also like to say that that's the second prediction in a row that I've got spot on for ABW Predictions League. So, Danny, I know you're in the chat there. Get the old points on the board, please, sir.
Well, thank you very much. I had 2-1 to PSG.
So did I. Bad first goal scorer, though. Cavani as first goal scorer.
Yeah, I think Dom and Neil got that spot on, actually. They both went 1-1, Cavani.
I went Rabiot 1-1, so never mind. But, shall we before we take some questions, shall we just have a quick look at the other results and maybe just have a little bit of a chat about stuff that went on?
Carl, did you want to mention the Giroud thing being sent off?
Oh, yes, let's mention that. What did you make of it all?
The first yellow, it was weird. When he came on the pitch, he was mouthing off straight away at the ref, and he looked clearly annoyed. I don't know whether it was for not being started or whatever. He just had the ump, which I kind of understand because the way we were playing, and maybe I thought he should have come on at half time anyway. So the second booking, I don't think it was a yellow, the sort of coming together with Verratti off the ball. I think it was more the fact the ref had got the ump with him so much because he'd every single time, every little thing, it was just rah, 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 rah in his ear. It was just like, nah, I've had enough, that's it, I'm sending you off. And it's stupid because he's done it before. He did it last season. Was it in the Monaco game last year?
He got sent off.
And it just, be more professional. I didn't get it. If they've had a directive in the summer saying, refs will pick up on abusive language and that kind of thing and back chatting or whatever, unless obviously you're Wayne Rooney, cunt. Sorry about that. But just be a pro. Just go, all right, okay, I'm not going to get anything. Just don't argue. Don't get into little squabbles about things. It's really, really stupid. And we ask for it. And, all right, so he's going to miss a game. What if Perez has picked up an injury, so we're back to playing Alexis up top, which we know doesn't work? That's no good for us, is it? So I just think it's really stupid.
What's your thoughts on it, Carl? Did you was there an argument to say that Giroud did nothing wrong? I mean, I agree with what John's saying, but equally it did seem a bit harsh, the sending off at the end.
No, it's not harsh. Like, I'm not saying he deserved it, but like John said, as soon as he came on, he was just mouthing off to the ref. Like, I don't know if he was angry because he didn't start or because he was in France, he felt he had a point to prove because he was obviously getting booed when he came on. But it's just ridiculous. Like, he's a petulant player. You can just tell. Arsene Wenger, for me, should, I know he doesn't do that, but Arsene Wenger should go absolute apeshit in him. He really should, because you're in France. You've got a point to prove to everyone in France that you're a good player. You know that the French public, for some unknown reason, don't like you. So prove a point to them. Go out and silence them and go score a goal. But you want to act stupid and start mouthing off. And it's almost like, I just don't understand. If I was the Arsenal manager, I would take him to one. I'd blast him in front of the team. I would tell him that he let the team down. He's stupid. There was no reason for that. I'm not saying he deserved the red card, but I don't think it was that harsh. I'm watching it now, and the ball gets played, and he steps into Verratti's path. He actually does sidestep into Verratti's path. So I don't understand why. And then the referee comes over, and he's mouthing off at the referee. Like, I'm going to be honest, I think he deserved the red card. Like, I'm just looking at it now. I honestly think he did deserve the red card. It's petulant, stupid. Why? The ball's gone, but yet you still want to try and foul Verratti. Why? Like, I don't get it. It's just, I don't know. For me, very, very petulant from Giroud, and he really does need to talk into, because it's not the first time this has happened.
No, it's just the Gallic French flair, so to speak. Sometimes you just can't get it out, can you? What do we make then of the rest of the results? I mean, Celtic took a paddling, didn't they? Crikey. Bayern Munich gave Rostov a welcome to the Champions League. Atletico Madrid finally scored away at PSV after all those games last year that they couldn't, all those minutes, I should say. Late equaliser that cost people a lot of money in Benfica. Napoli, good win in Kiev, that for them, John.
Yes, very good.
What do we all make? What do you think, John, of this opening round? Does it show the strength of the Champions League, or does it show there's a lot of good teams and a lot of not very good teams?
I don't know. Like, teams like Ludogorets, Rostov, you're not really expecting anything from them. The group stage for me is slightly more exciting now because of the whole pot one, pot two thing, the way they've changed it around a bit. So you do get some big matchups, but it's still going to be the same teams like Madrid, Barca, Bayern Munich. I think Juventus will have a very good run this year. All that money they've spent is for one thing. That, you know, they could have won Serie A without Pogba. That all that money was spent to win the Champions League. The one thing I'm questioning and want to see is how well Man City will do under Pep. That's obviously the big sort of thing that he's been brought in for, and obviously their game got postponed, so I think it's tomorrow they're playing that now, against my Gladbach. Probably get a pasting, but yeah, I want to see how far they get through. I don't think PSG are a threat this year, to be honest. I think it is the usual sort of Spanish clubs, Bayern, Juve, and then maybe Man City, to see how they go through. But I can't see us troubling it. If we get quarterfinals or something like that, yeah, great. it sounds really, yeah, disappointing. But
I get you.
I just think we're just passengers in this competition, to be honest.
We could
beat those teams in a one-off game. We've got the ability to. They're a little bit under par, and we're at our top level, and that kind of thing. Of course, that can happen. I don't think we can do it enough times to get ourselves all the way to the final to win it. Mm. And also, I want to see how Leicester do. I know they've had a crap start to the season, but they've actually played quite well in the league. Just been a bit unlucky. So be good for their fans anyway.
Yeah, I think we'd need to do a Porto in order to win it. Like, you know,
yes,
proper sort of,
yeah,
luck and defending and, yeah. Can't see that happening. And Carl, any team that stood out for you in particular tonight? Anything that really, Barcelona and Bayern Munich.
I think Celtic, definitely they were high over the weekend after beating Rangers 5-1, but yeah, they definitely got a crash landing to earth today. I can't even say Barca did well, because it was against Celtic. Let's face it, they should have beat Celtic. But you know what? I think it's too early. I can't really say, oh yeah, Barcelona are favourites. They beat Celtic, so. But onwards and upwards, you know.
Barca put out all their strikers, just saying. They started all of those. And thank you, Tom Douglas, who I assume is the same Tom Douglas who's in the chat, just tweeted me the heat map from the game, which is basically the entire pitch is red, which is just where Barcelona were.
That is quite accurate. Yeah, that's quality. I like that. Okay, we'll finish with some questions, and we've got about 10 minutes or so left. So if anybody has got any questions, do pop them in the old chat box, and we'll do our best to get to them if you guys want to keep an eye out for them. Just while we're waiting for some of those questions, I'll just point out that obviously the pod is back on Thursday. I can't remember who's on it. I want to say, from memory, Mr. Fife. Or is it the one with Chaz Nuki Burton this week? I'm sure Danny will
be on that. Chaz is big, isn't it? It's on.
In that case, it'll be Jace Davies and Jeff Arsenal and Chaz and Danny and Gimli, of course. So, yes, that will be on Thursday. I'm sure Danny will pop up in the chat box in a minute. No, he's too busy talking about Galatasaray. Nothing beats OG's Galatasaray heat map. No, I agree. I actually came up with a good one once. I drew a picture that a heat map of Galatasaray and or tactics of Galatasaray, and it was like arrive, set fire to stadium, leave, lose. It's just, you got to love it when people find humour in things. Anyway, let's see. We've got a couple of questions here. John, do you want to pick out that first question there? No, he's too busy typing. He's completely ignoring me. Okay,
you're the host. I'm doing the typing.
I was just going to say two questions, but
you ask away. I'm getting questions.
In fact, the first one is actually to me anyway. Quick question to Chris. This is from Just Add Chemical X. That's a great name. To Chris, John, and Carl. How good would Draxler be for us filling that massive void on the left? Carl, you're a fan, aren't you? I think
Draxler's my man crush. He really is my man crush. I can't love the guy enough. He was the one player I really wanted us to buy. It never happened. It's not going to happen if it does until the summer anyway. So no point. To me, it's a good question, but no point talking about it. You know, he would have done the job. Of course he would have. But, you know, the January, it doesn't open until January, the window. We're not going to. I can't see us buying any major signings in January. But yeah, Draxler is my man crush. He is the reason why I'm now following Wolfsburg and watching all the games, because I just, for me, he's just, he's the dream, isn't it? He really is. Like, he genuinely is my man crush. Like, I love Draxler. He's just brilliant.
Fair enough. Yeah, there you go. You got your answer there. Here's another question then. Dan Cronin, how far do you think we go in the Champions League? Round of 16 or round of 8? I'm saying quarterfinals. Carl, are you?
Second round, as normal. Second round. I'll do. Round of 16.
Fair enough. John, are you?
depends on the draw. Quarterfinals maximum.
Okay, fair enough. Blah, blah, blah. Liam, question here. Why have we only won 8 of our last 22 competitive games? Crikey, somebody's been on the abacus. Well, I think if we knew that, Liam, we'd probably be manager. So, I don't know, really. I mean, it's a hard one to judge. I think we've been a little bit stuttery the past few weeks. To start the season, we've been a bit rusty. Finish the season mixed form. I mean, yeah, it's hard to say, isn't it? Hard to say. All I would say is at least we've lost that game the opening day, and we've at least been a bit more solid since then. You know, we haven't gone crazy to try and repair that damage. So, yeah, it's a hard one to answer that. But you got any thoughts on that, Carl?
I think we kind of towards the end of the season when we knew that we weren't going to win the title, I think we kind of gave up a little bit. Heads dropped, unfortunately. I think we just became stale. We just didn't have anything about it. The first game of the season, I can't explain. I really cannot explain why we lost 4-3 to Liverpool at home. For us, I think it took a week before to say physically we're ready, and then when we lost 4-3 to say that we're not ready. Bad tactics, bad management, I don't know. Like you said, if we knew the answer to that, we would all be managers, Chris. But at least, like you said, we've improved since. You know, I'm glad that you look at the draw away to Leicester, you're looking at, okay, we drew to Leicester, but we drew away to the champions. That's not a bad result. We went and beat Watford, a good result, and we beat Southampton. So, you know, we're on the rise, and hopefully we get a good result against Hull.
Yeah, that's going to be quite a tough one because it's away from home, isn't it? So,
yeah, away.
Weirdly, that might suit our attacking sort of our counter attacking style, hopefully, because you'd imagine.
Oh, Dom is on the pod as well on Thursday.
Oh, good. Okay, cool. So, yeah. Dom is there as well.
And I'll just answer his question quickly now. My beard is not subpar, you Aussie bastard. It's marvellous and you wish you could grow one.
That's told him. Here's a question for you, John. Just a couple more here. I know this is a sort of topic close to your heart. It's from Tom Douglas. Why isn't Xhaka starting? He's played well every time he's played for us.
I really don't know. Some people have said maybe Arsene's scared of him disciplinary-wise. I'm not sure I necessarily buy that, because why would you get the player otherwise? Yes, he got sent off 3 times last season. You have to remember that was the first half of the season. Second half of the season, he didn't. I think he only picked up 2 bookings maybe in the second half of the season. I can't remember off the top of my head, but he was much more reserved with his tackling. He was much more serious. Yes, at some point, I'm sure he will get sent off for Arsenal. There was players like Patrick Vieira used to get sent off every other week, as I remember it anyway, because he used to love going around kicking the shit out of people, and I used to clap him every time he did. I'd play him all the time. Maybe it's just an easing in process. From what I've seen, our best pairings of that sort of centre-mid partnership at the moment, I think, has been Xhaka and Cazorla. I think he also looks very good with Elneny as well, because Xhaka can sit and Elneny likes to run around. He's got that engine to move about. The interesting thing will be what happens when Ramsey comes back, because maybe in Arsene's head he's got the idea that Ramsey should be playing next to Xhaka and that's the partnership he wants to see. I don't know. So maybe he doesn't want to get him too used to playing with one type of player. I don't understand it, but yeah, I would have started him tonight, and I think if he's fit and available to play, I'd start him in most games, because I think he's a brilliant player, and I think he gives us another dimension, being able to pass and pick out players from that deep in the pitch. It just makes more room for players like Ozil and Alexis. They can make those runs a bit earlier behind the defence, and Xhaka is a player who's good enough to pick them out, so hopefully he'll get more game time, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's he's definitely impressed, and I think we've got to, as you say, we've got to give him time still to adjust. And don't forget, we're all managers, but the manager himself sees him in training every day, and only he can really judge when he's 100% ready to be in there each week. And I think we all cried for a competition in the squad. Well, in that case, you shouldn't be starting every player every week. So, you know,
start your best players. You don't rest a player in the for a league game and then still don't play him in the Champions League. That made no sense.
Yeah, it is. It is a tough one, isn't it? But never mind.
Go on, Chris. I'll ask you a question. One from Cuddyman 2009. Why can't Arsenal develop English players?
Do you know what? That's a really tough question, because arguably we are developing English players, but then they're going a bit skew-whiff. Jack Wilshere, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Kieran Gibbs. The thing is, we brought through quite a lot of young English players that have gone on to have decent careers elsewhere, but obviously not at the Arsenal. I don't really know, is the honest truth. Do you know what? I think half the battle or half the problem is, it's a subject close to my heart, is that I don't think a lot of our English kids are good enough. Really don't. I don't think they are good enough. The young lad, Chris Willock, apparently has got quite a lot about him, and he might make the grade. Obviously, we touched on Jack Wilshere coming through the system. There's a few other young lads in the system now at the English level, but I don't think the English kids potentially are good enough. And there's
fair.
A reason, there's a reason why they don't get in the sides, isn't there, at the end of the day? And you know, John, from following Italian football, if you are good enough in Italian football in a young age, you get played, you're straight in, and you have a young career.
Same thing happens here. You look at John Stones, obviously I know he cost a lot of money, But he's very young and he looks a very good player, and he's only going to improve under someone like Pep. I think if you looked at the, if you, I don't know, picked a load of different people and they put sort of an amalgamation of an English 25 squad or 30 players or whatever, and then you picked out of those how many of them you'd actually want in your starting 11 for your Premier League team, if you're an Arsenal or a Man City, there's very few players you'd actually pick out and you'd want. So I don't think it's just an Arsenal problem. I think it's something just in the league in general. I know a couple of coaches who've worked at, or one in particular who worked at West Ham and all the way down to like small, tiny little non-league teams that are near me, like Bishop Stortford. Oh, hello, Kitty in the background. and the one thing he always said was that a lot of the young English players come in, they get paid a lot of money, and they just expect it. They've kind of half given up because they get paid so much. But as you said, a lot of the foreign players, despite, doesn't matter how much money you give them. One, you don't have to give them as much money, but even when they do get the money, they still work hard and they've still got the work ethic. So maybe that's the trait of it as well. I think players do get too much money too young, and they don't have that hunger to try and keep improving themselves. But it's not just an Arsenal problem. That's throughout the league, I think, developing that talent. And you've got to be so good now to get in a team as well. I think how impressive you've got to be to get ahead of a Mesut Ozil, or, you know, getting in front of Santi Cazorla or Xhaka in midfield. You know, when someone like Jack Wilshere, who we know how talented he is, he struggles to get in the side. So.
Yeah, I agree. As I say, I just don't think they're good enough, but, you know, that's obviously, I'm a bit biased. Right then, last couple of questions, and then we are off. Who have we got here? Ah, yes. Cool. Got to read that. Cole likes Desi.
Desi, I think.
Yeah, Cole likes. Anyway, him. To all the panel, can we beat Chelsea soon? About fucking time. We haven't since RVP prick scored the hat-trick at their place. A bit of a random question. Do you know what? Weirdly, I want to get John's thoughts on this because, John, would you concur that I actually think that we've got more chance of beating a Conte side than we have beating a Mourinho / Hiddink / whoever else's side? Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah, maybe. I think we do still have sort of a mental thing against Chelsea. They're defensively solid, but when they push forwards, they will do it and they'll leave a bit more space than a Mourinho team would, I think, maybe is what you're getting at. So I think we've got more of a chance. The problem is that absolute bastard Diego Costa is in shit-hot form at the moment, and he's also getting away with absolutely every foul. I hate him when he plays against us. When I watch him in the Chelsea playing against someone else who I don't particularly like, I kind of enjoy it a little bit because he is a top shithouser. He's very good at it. Yeah. I think this is much better chance for us now because Chelsea are in a bit of a transition. Oh, Jace is not a fan of Diego Costa.
It is.
Nor am I. I mean,
the only thing about Diego Costa. Sorry, Chris.
No, go on, go for it.
The only thing about Diego Costa, he's a dirty bastard. Mm. He puts the ball in the back of the net. Yeah. So, you know, he does his job. Like, you know, no one likes, like Mourinho, he's a no one likes Mourinho, but he gets results and he wins. Mm. So you know, Diego Costa, I can't stand him. I would never like him at Arsenal, but at the end of the day, he does his job. He puts the ball in the back of the net. He's the kind of win by any means necessary guy. And with all, as much as you may hate him, you've got to give him credit for sort of that.
I'd have Costa at Arsenal all day long. Oh, I'd love it. When Ozil decides to join Bayern, we get Jack back from Bournemouth, play him at number 10, have Xhaka behind him and Costa in front. And anything kicks off, they would kick the shit out of everyone. I fucking love it. Back to the old days. A proper tear up. Sorry.
Mark Blodell asked us a really good question on Twitter that I should just give a nod to. Why are we so bad when it comes to positioning in regards to the overlaps on the flanks? It's a really good question, that. And to be honest, I feel like it deserves a bit more time than we can give it tonight. But it's a brilliant question because that is a really, really key point, I think, about some of the way we defend. And so that's an excellent question, Mark. Mark, do me a favour. Send that to Danny for the podcast tomorrow, because I'd like to hear the guys' thoughts on that, because it's a question that deserves a bit longer than what we've got left. So, yeah, good question. The final one we're going to ask is from Rudy Wilson. I'll give this one to Carl. Playing Ozil and Santi, playmakers in brackets, too similar to bringing off the bench Granit and El Nene, beasts. I think what he's sort of saying there is, would you rather see a combination of a beast and a playmaker? There's a title of a porno if ever I heard one. Or Beast and the Playmaker, Oiled is a good sequel. Would you rather see a combination of that over what we've got? Because obviously Santi is a deep-lying playmaker, whereas obviously Meza is the 10. But I see his point. They're essentially two in the same area of the pitch. So is that something that concerns you or that you'd like to see changed?
No. I mean, as much as I love Ozil, I really do. I think he's a luxury player. When we signed him, did we need him? No. But I'm still glad we got him. I wouldn't swap him for anything in the world at the moment. But I still think he's a luxury player. And if he does sign his deal, which I'm hoping he does, Santi, I can't see he's going to be at the club much longer. But I think they work well. I think Santi's the sort of person who would get the ball from the back and just calm everything down. I think Santi's needed in the squad. I really do. He's the sort of player that's just, you know, he knows when to quicken up the play. He knows when to slow the play down. You know, the little balls that he pops off left and right and beats one man. You know, that's what we need in the squad. And I still think we need Ozil because his passing is just absolutely phenomenal. I don't think there's a better passer of the ball than Ozil. So personally, I still would want Santi and Ozil in the squad.
Good answer. Good answer. It's for me, Santi gets in full stop. I just love him. Just love him. He's just so, so good at what he does. But yeah, it's I actually want to see more of El Nene. I really do. I just don't know how we crowbar him into. You know, we have got a bloody good squad, haven't we?
That's he'll play against Forest, only.
Say that again?
He'll play against Forest.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, we might have a chance to win that.
Sorry, Chris. And it's not to knock Coquelin, because I think he's done a great job ever since he's come back from that loan deal, and he's really proved himself, and he's an important part of the squad. But for me, he should be below El Nene in the rankings. Do you not agree? Mm. Like Xhaka and Santi would be some of the first picks, and El Nene for me would be above Coquelin, I think.
Yeah, I agree, but I think they're such different types of players.
Obviously it's match dependent, but
yeah, I think the one thing I really like about this season, and this could come back to bite me when we finish 10th and have a terrible season, but the one thing I really like about this season is it's the first time in a long time that we've got genuinely different midfield options. What I mean by that is, rather than, you know, the stereotypical Arsene likes to collect little, you know, little diddy men in midfield. Yes, he does love them, of course he does, but we've got some really different types of players in the midfield this time. You know, Theo Walcott looks like he's actually going to sort of give it a go this year as a wide man. Oxlade-Chamberlain, you know, the kid's suffering. You can see that, but there is a talent there if we can find it. You know, El Nene is the more box-to-box option. Ramsey can give you a bit of all three. Coquelin is more of a destroyer. I think Xhaka is as good a playmaker as he is a tackler, which, you know, we'll probably see over the season as it progresses. And then you've got, you know, Ozil, one of the best number 10s in the world on his day, and genuine pace down the flanks in an Iwobi or an Alexis Sanchez, and potentially a Perez if he's played out wide at any point. So I do think we're heavily stacked in that midfield area, which is obviously why we let Jack go. So I think it's hard to judge, but on ability alone, then yeah, you're probably right, because I think El Nene is a massively underrated player. I really do. I think he's got a big future to play. In you know, in the games ahead, the years ahead, because Santi's not getting any older, is he? Any younger? Sorry. So, yeah, I think you make a fair point, but I'm cautiously optimistic that we've got quite a good midfield setup right now. If they're all fit, of course. Which
but there's no striker.
Of commiseration as well to poor Lucas Perez, who tweeted tonight that he was about to make his debut for Arsenal in the Champions League, and then quickly we scored the goal and the substitution was changed.
Yeah, God bless him. Yeah, I hope he gets a goal soon, because I've got this horrible feeling he's going to be, you know, you know what our fan base is like, and I don't want him to go all Cabo Diawara on us. You know, I want it to work. I want it to be Reyes.
His movement and his pace and everything looked good in the first game. He's obviously just getting used to his teammates and stuff.
Yeah,
he looks like the sort
and
of player
he's not fit, is he?
Should enjoy playing with. He does look a bit dirty though. He looks like he needs a wash.
Yeah, I kind of like that though. Yeah, Reyes was the same. And of course, he only played one game for Deportivo, didn't he? And he hasn't had a lot of matches under his belt. So it'll come. I like Mustafi though. I think he settled in nicely, quite quickly. Yeah. So good times. Okay, we'll leave it there then. Danny Cavadiwara, killer of crossbars. So true. Yes, we'll leave it there for tonight. Thank you all for joining us. We really appreciate it. And lots of really good discussion in the chat box as usual. And some positive people, which is nice, because I did worry we might have a little bit of a negative one tonight. So
not
that's
me.
Good. Not you. You've been a bottle of joy. We'll be back on, is it Saturday, 3 o'clock game? I think it is.
Oh, God. We should probably have looked that up, shouldn't we?
Yeah, piss poor planning this is, isn't it? Saturday. Yeah, it's a 3 o'clock kickoff at Hull on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, so we'll be back on Saturday just after 5, near enough 5 o'clock roughly. So, UK time, of course. So, do tune in. No idea who's going to be on, but I'll probably be here and somebody else will be here with me.
So Jack Wiltshire will make his full debut for Bournemouth and score a hat trick against Man City for us, obviously.
Which will be lovely. And we're all, of course, praying for a massive black hole to open up at Stamford Bridge on Friday. So that'll also be nice to watch. Right. OK, that'll do us then. Thank you, John. Thank you, Carl, as always.
Thank you.
No worries. Thank you.
We shall return. And as I say, podcast will be up once Danny's pressed the buttons and twiddled the knobs. Do send your questions in. And thank you very much for tuning in. If you like what we do, click the old links below. Give us a thumbs up. Send us some abuse or some love. We like them both. And stay tuned.
And don't forget, new blog out by Drew as well.
Good point. Thank you. Yes, Drew's new blog is up now. Do check out The Wizard at Holofrand, Mr. OG's page, and indeed at The Bergie Blogs, where you'll find lots of bloggy goodness. Splendid. Right, so that's us done then. Thank you very much for tuning in to ABW Radio. Keep it Arsenal, and we'll speak to you on the podcast tomorrow. Cheerio.
See you later. Take my money. Well, I'm in need. Yes, it's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger, way over town, that digs on me. She give me money. Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Give me money. Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead. Cutie the bomb, met her at a beauty salon with a baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said, I could tell you rock, I could tell by your charm. Fars girls, you got a flock, I could tell by your charm and your arm. But I'm looking for the one, have you seen her? My psychic told me she have an act like Serena, Trina, Gina for Lopez. 4 kids and I gotta take all they bad to show biz. Okay, get your kids, but then they got their friends. I pulled up in the Benz, they all got a Benz. We all went to den, and then I had to pay. If you f***ing with this girl, then you better be paid. You know why? Take too much to touch her. From what I heard, she got a baby by Buster. My best friend said she used to f*** with Usher. I don't care what none of y'all say, I still love her. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Girl, go ahead. 18 years, 18 years.
she got one of your kids, got you for 18 years. I know somebody paying child support for one of his kids. His baby mama car crib is bigger than his. You will see him on TV any given Sunday. Win a Super Bowl and drive off in a Hyundai. She was supposed to buy your shorty Tyco with your money. She went to the doctor, got lipo with your money. She walk around looking like Michael with your money. Should've got that insured Geico for your money. If you ain't no punk, holla, we want prenup, we want prenup, yeah. It's something that you need to have, cause when she leave your, she gon' leave with half. 18 years, 18 years, and on her 18th birthday, he found out it wasn't his. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, get down, girl, gon' head, get down, get down, girl, gon' head, get down. You got knees. You don't want a dude to smoke, but he can't buy. You go out to eat, he can't pay, y'all can't leave. His dishes in the back, you gotta roll up your sleeves. But while y'all washing, watch him. He gon' make it to a beans out of that toxin. He got that ambition, baby. Look at his eyes. This week he mopping floors, next week is the fries. So stick by his side. I know his dudes ballin', and yeah, that's nice. And they gon' keep calling and trying, but you stay right, girl. And when he get on, he leave your for a white girl. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down.